Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:08 p.m. Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 5th. Well, our deepest sympathies go out to everyone in London following the weekend's terrorist attack. But this map that we have in front of us here shows us 45 years of terrorism, and also it highlights that there is, particularly in Europe over the last few years, there has been a significant uptick. Also, that there are other flashpoints that do not get nearly as much media attention, but there it also helps to I think highlight the fact that the terrorism is increasingly a factor that is becoming a fact of daily life, and that there isn't a great deal that the media the governments are capable of doing. That the proliferation of social media and the internet has allowed radicalization to take place over the phone, over the airwaves, and over the internet, and therefore this is an evolving situation, and it has the potential to just represent a nuisance factor. When we look at the stock markets, then, for example, the FTSE was down just a tad in here today, about 0.33%, but it was generally a pretty quiet day on stock markets, certainly nothing in the way of downward dynamics, and Germany was closed today. Then, when we look at Wall Street, it was also really a fairly quiet day, but the most important thing that has happened is that the S&P 500 last week was able to sustain the move above 2400. That's really quite impressive, and it really would need to now sustain a move below that level to even begin to suggest that this that we were having a failed upside break. In the absence of that kind of dynamic, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and this constitutes the resumption of what has been a pretty consistent advance, and that that range that we saw for about 2 months may have been somewhat narrower than we've seen previously, but it is still reasonably consistent that we've had pullbacks in the order of about 100 points on three separate occasions now, and a larger decline than that would really be required to question the consistency of this really rather impressive uptrend. In fact, the only time that we've seen it trending in such a consistent manner was between 2012 and 2015, which would suggest that there is ample liquidity in the market. Of course, a lot of that liquidity is coming from Europe, where the ECB is the central bank that is printing with abandon, and that is contributing to the rather firm tone in European indices. They're generally trading at a discount to their Wall Street peers. When we look at the broader Europe stocks index, it is coming up towards its 2015 highs, but it has a very different medium-term pattern relative to the Euro stocks. This is the Europe Stock 600, and as it comes up to this 400 area, I think it is worth considering that it is now approaching the upper side of a 17-year range. This index includes the UK and Switzerland, Sweden, Denmark, and Norway. So it is a much broader index, and not least because the UK is a significant weighting within this. And of course, the FTSE 100 has already broken upwards. The fact that the ECB is in there printing. What do we know about quantitative easing? The number one lesson that we've learned from quantitative easing in the US is that it is wonderful for asset price inflation, and that is certainly helping to support European stock markets, and also stocks just about everywhere else, because that capital is both mobile and global, and it goes to the most attractive assets. The Nikkei was just a tad weaker in here today, but it is sustaining the move above 20,000, and it really is worth also looking at the long-term chart when we consider Japan, because it has been trading below 20,000 for a significant period of time. When we look at the much broader index, the topics over the last 30 odd years, then it is around that 1750 area which has represented an area of resistance since at least 1992. So this is a market that has been going sideways for a very significant period of time. And of course, when we look at Taiwan, it is really quite closely related to the Japanese market, not least because it was one of the first destinations for offshoring. And it is now sustaining the move above 10,000. So this is a very important advance. In fact, I really should update that chart just to highlight how much it is above the 10,000 mark at this stage. So it is now above that high that we saw back in 1997, and the last time we were at this particular level was in 1990. So this is a profound change. It is just one of a number of Asian markets that are breaking to new highs. The Indonesian market is also really quite steady and is continuing to hold this break to new all-time highs. The Indian market hasn't really looked back. It is really very consistent and continuing to extend this advance above the 9,000 level. It is, and the banking index continues to represent a lead indicator for the Indian market, and it has also not really looked back since it cruised to new recovery highs early this year. When we look at the commodity sector, I think a lot of people will be keeping a close eye on the oil price. There was some rather important news that Saudi Arabia has cut off diplomatic ties with Qatar, and Qatar, of course, is a rather small country, but it is an OPEC member, and it is rather sympathetic to Iran. And I think a lot of people are now looking at North Korea as a potential threat and to the geopolitical order, and not least to the rather complacent advance that we're having on Wall Street, where this is sort of like a Teflon advance where nothing seems to derail it, and that is the hallmark of a bull market. But an upset in or an uptick in geopolitical tensions, not least in North Korea, could be a catalyst for both a potential rally in oil prices, but also for a reversionary process on stocks. But there is the potential in the Middle East that rather than fighting proxy wars, which Saudi Arabia and Iran are currently doing in Iraq, in Syria, and in Yemen, that they may just go for a hot war and attack each other across the straits, or attack each other in a much more overt fashion. That would appear to be the trend. There has been a massive change in the status quo in the Middle East, and the question has not yet been resolved. The fact that ISIS can continue to act with abandon means that it is getting support from a number of different sources, and that is helping them to sustain their efforts. We cannot simply ignore that fact, that if there was a united front, or there was a united front, or there was cooperation between all the actors in the region, they would no longer exist. The fact that they exist means that they're getting support from somewhere. So there is a deteriorating geopolitical aspect to what's happening in the Middle East. There is absolutely no sign that things are getting better. In the meantime, oil prices were down about a half a dollar in here today. They're trading back below $50 again. There is a progression of lower rally highs has been evident all year. It's a part of a much more rangy environment that's been in evidence for a year already, and I think that that is likely to remain the case, that there is a lot of supply becomes economic above $50, and there's a fair amount of supply becomes uneconomic below 40. So we could be in a tight, volatile, rangy environment for the foreseeable future. When we look at the London Metals Index, it has been really in a process of mean reversion for most of this year, but it is continuing to hold the region of the moving average, and that is in sharp contrast to what we're seeing with the oil price. So that tells us that the oil price really is a supply-dominated environment, whereas the industrial metals are much more sensitive to the prospects for GDP growth, which are picking up, but also that the mining sector generally has been through a very painful process of rationalization, and that this is an important level. That copper looks almost identical to the London Metals Index, and zinc prices, and I will put that up on a long-term chart, have been pulling back, but only to the upper side of that underlying range, which and it had been trading below $2,500 since really the beginning of 2010, and only broke above it quite recently. So this is a rather interesting period of time for the industrial metals sector, and whether they can now demonstrate support in the region of their trend means, that will, I think, tell us a lot about their ability to sustain their recovery trajectories. When we look at the currency markets, the pound is at an interesting juncture. It has pulled back to the region of the shown the other way around. So the euro has rallied up to its progression of lower rally highs, and there is now the potential that we get some unwinding of its short-term overbought condition. As we approach the election, it is inevitable that terrorism is going to become more of a central theme, and one might argue that that is exactly the whole point of the terrorist attack so close to the election day, that they are attempting to influence the result. Quite how it's sort of beyond my or my comprehension, at least. But the pound has priced in a rather gloomy potential outcome, and it is at an area of potential support, so we could have an unwinding there. And U.S. treasuries, especially those futures, are right now at the region of the upper side of their range and the region of the 200-day moving average, but they have not yet been able to sustain a break above 155. We've seen three attempts to get above that level in the last four sessions, and it has not yet been able to. That would suggest at least some reticence among investors to support the bond market at this level, that we have had a significant reaction against the prevailing trend last year, and the Fed is raising interest rates, albeit gradually. They are likely to raise rates on, I think it's the 14th, but then the question, I think, is whether they are going to be able to do that again this year. They are still talking about it, but I think it is practically impossible that they are going to be able to shrink the size of the balance sheet and raise interest rates at the same time. We know what shrinking the balance sheet of a central bank looks like, because we can see what happened in Europe. And it was bullish for the euro, but it was not particularly bullish for the economy. And the Fed, having tried so very hard to create an economic expansion, will be rather shy, I think, about endangering that. Now, the euro is up to 112.5, and it has so far held this advance. It's been really quite steady. The likelihood remains that it will be able to get up towards that 115 area, which represents the upper side of the range, and I think that is when we're going to have some big questions asked. If we go back to the weekly chart, then if it can sustain a move above 115, well, then we would be starting to talk about base formation completion. Right now, we've had the failed downside break at the beginning of this year, and the dynamic of the failure was greater than the dynamic of the decline, so the likelihood is that we are going to go right up and test the upper side of that range. But the Europeans do not want a stronger currency, and they are printing with abandon. So certainly Donald Trump doesn't want a strong dollar either, and then the question is, How strong is the US economy going to be relative to everywhere else? There are certainly a lot of moving parts. There is, and I think the big wild cards that we're going to have to consider this summer are going to be an uptick in geopolitical tensions, because it's rather difficult to get into the onto the ground in the North Asian winter. So, if the USA wants to stop North Korea from developing an intercontinental ballistic missile, then the timing is about right for that. That we're approaching the summer months, and generally that is rather an easier time to proceed with military operations. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.